we are going to begin a series called, come on, let me say it, again. Now, I know all of us say again very differently. If your kids ask for money, come back again and again, say again, okay? But that's not how you want to see this again. No, that's not how the way. This kind of a series, again, really stems up from a particular verse in the Bible. And it is going to be a series that we will talk about the stories of God's second chance. Talk about how each and every one of us in our life, all of us need to encounter second chance. How many of you are where you are today because someone gave you second chance? How many of you have encountered second chance before, right? I recalled, and while I was working for a company called Datacraft, and we bidded for a tender, and we were late because the jam was very massive. I was late for about 30 to 35 minutes because when you submit a tender, they recorded down the time. And the IT head, which is someone that we have been trying to serve and help, looked at me and was quite rather upset because, why did you come so late? You know, so when I went back, I met my boss. She was very upset and honestly refused to talk to me for a couple of days because I potentially ruined a job that we were about or very close to win and just needed to go through the tendering process and come out to be the best bidder and all of that. And because of the months of investment, my engineers, everything, so my boss was so upset. And then a week later, they announced that there were quite a few vendors, they were all late. They decided to call for tender again. You know, I had my second chance, okay? And praise God, my boss began to talk to me again, okay? So my point is, every one of us, when you look through your life, every one of us needs second chance. In fact, for every one of my children, sometimes when we have our birthday celebration and when they honor me, they will generally talk about how we extended second chance. My eldest son came to me and said, Dad, remember the other day when we had this heartfelt conversation, I was in the car and I told you something about what I was going through and I was expecting you to wear on the pastor hat or, you know, and to tell me what to do, but all you did was you just embraced me. Dad, I never forget that. Dad changed my life. My second son, who because of his love for gaming, you know, wanting to become a gamer and didn't want to study. So when he finished his O-level, we sent him to Inti College, costs about maybe 17 to 18,000. And because he wanted to go to the States, but he didn't do a good job. And he, you know, he just kind of wasted that 1 year or 1.5 years. And then when he decided not to go to the States, then we have to send him to Sunway. He has to go through the whole route, went through Sunway, went through foundation courses, about 20 over 1,000 by then. And I remember when he came to me, he says, Dad, I'm so sorry. I wasted all this amount of money that you need to pay extra. And I just look at my boy, give him a hug and say, no, it's okay. Don't worry. And he will remember the second chance that he had, so to speak. Okay. Now, so every one of us, kind of when you encounter God in the most personal way, most probably is you encountered the second chance of God. Something that you messed up. Something that then you connected the dot and found that God, His grace, way surpassed the mistake that you made. And which really reminds me of a particular verse in the Bible. It says, where sin abound, grace abound even more. And that's just a little bit of who God is. So this Christmas, what we wanted to do, both for the series, both for the production, was to be able to help as many people trying to encounter the second chance of God. Can I get an amen? That you will not encounter philosophically, but you will encounter on a very personal level, which is something that I can't navigate, but God can. Because that is simply who God is. So again, it's a series where we want to talk about the second chances of God and the stories. Now, Christmas season is one of those weird seasons where the whole world celebrates and potentially nobody knows about why we are celebrating what we are celebrating. Every year, I think at least for a pastor, you are trying to help people to connect the dot of something that happened 2,000 years ago. Why is it still meaningful today? And I think the best way to actually do that is to always help to bring what I call man's depravity, which is how broken we are. And we live in a very broken world. You look at yourself, lots of things in you that's broken. And I don't mean physically. I mean emotionally. I mean mentally. I mean things that you have to navigate with yourself. I know of some people would say that, Pastor, honestly, I won't marry myself. And that tells you a lot, because some of us, it's so difficult to live with because we are broken. So brokenness happens in every capacity. We call that sin in us. But something about Christmas, when God sent Jesus, He will be called Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Something about God with us overcoming the sin in us. So the best way, I think, to kind of marry both was to help us to see man's depravity and sees God's generosity. Now, let me just kind of talk through man's depravity. If I take in a global lens, I look at the brokenness in the world today, I look at the war that's happening all over, I look at Ukraine, I look at Israel, I look at the many, many frauds and happening that's in the world. I mean, crazy, the world is very, very broken, full of racial tension has never been totally another level like today. Post-COVID and all of that. When I look at regional, it's scary. Just in our Asia region, we are broken in so many ways. And the whole world knows that Cambodia, Myanmar is one of those places where people were scammed. I was just reading a report by United Nations that said, very credible report that says that at least about 120,000 people were scammed to Cambodia. At least another 120,000 were scammed to Myanmar, where they applied for a job and they went and then someone kidnapped them and then now they are forced to be a laborer for them and all this. And you read about it. In fact, one of our Chinese church members' relative was recently being scammed and by the grace of God was rescued and came back. So this is something that is not just... you read about it, it can happen to any one of us. And my wife is the one that gets the most jittery because the moment he heard about my son wanting to go to interview, meet someone that doesn't know my wife, you sure or not, you don't gonna scam, okay, you know? And you know, we live in that world, which is very real, very broken. Nationally, the amount of the way politicians play their cards creates such a racial tension and sometimes religious tension. That's just how broken we are. Go to McDonald's. Okay, some of you get it, some of you don't. Never mind. You just know how broken we are. When you look at the family front, you look at the tension that happens between husband and wife. You look at tension that happens between parents and child. And not too long ago, we were just talking with a family that never, ever could have imagined the day will come when the differences were so big that it was a difficulty even to talk to one another. And those becomes very real. And the sibling rivalry and all of that, we are just simply broken. When you bring it down to personal level, mental health is on the rise. So everybody come into this cave mentality, don't know what to do, shut themselves, and it's just real, all that we have to navigate through. So brokenness is really in every level. But on the other hand, you have this thing called God's generosity. In the midst of every one of us in our broken manner, there is this God who is able to move into our life and give a second chance, able to repair, mend some of the broken relationship, our broken heart, our broken trust in every capacity. When I think through God's second chances, I think about the biggest second chance was our second chance to be saved. That was why Jesus came and died on that cross, to literally tell every one of us that sin will not define who you are, but God can. And that's what Jesus did. And when you walk through every individual in the Bible, you walk through David, who had a second chance when he messed up morally, and God came to him, and he wrote Psalms 51 and Psalms 32, one of the most heartfelt forgiveness psalms that comes before God and ask God to give me a pure heart, give me a steadfast spirit, and something that David realized how sin can ravage our life, but God can turn it around and became one of the greatest kings. You got people like Peter who betrayed Jesus and God personally came to him and gave him second chance. And you know the story, how in John 21, God restored Peter. You know, in every one of them, there's one single thing that ties all the second chance to all of them was God was very personal. And I want to take a break from that and just kind of talk through about this God's personalness that every one of us is experiencing. You know, something about believing in God, God is not a philosophy. God is not a principle. God is very personal. And to help you to see that contrast, and I think the best way I can say is, you know, today we live in a world that's very high tech, but low touch. So every trend analyst will tell you, because our world moved into a very high tech world today, everything is digitalized. So when I call in to some bank, I don't dare to mention it just because I get sued, or some airline, how many of you are frustrated sometimes because you only talk to computer? You wish there is a button you can press and someone, some human will talk to you, because sometimes the amount of problem that you're going through, the complexity is not handled by computer. So how many of you had that? You call it and then the computer, you know, tell you, oh, please press one, press two. No, I don't want any of this. Then you press another one and say, okay, someone will get back. And then it was a computer that get back to you. So, hi, you know, whatever. And, you know, you can't let, you know why? Because we are living in what we call high tech, but low touch. Why would you long for maybe to talk to someone? Because you wanted to be high touch. Now, God is not a philosophy. That's why he doesn't answer you just by computerized. God answers you in a very personal manner, which I cannot describe, I cannot prescribe, but that's something that I subscribe powerfully because I know that is who God is. So for David, he came through a prophet called Nathan. For Peter, while Peter was fishing, totally disappointed, and God came and reenacted the entire moment where first God called Peter, put your net to the right side. He caught a lot of fish and he knew that this has to be Jesus. He swam, and you know the story. And then for Zacchaeus, God personally went to his house and he got convicted, got saved. He had a lot of grief. God changed. For the woman that caught in adultery, Jesus was at the scene when they were about to stone her, and Jesus salvaged her, saved her personally. Then you got Peter, Matthew, tax collector. Jesus went to his house. You got the Samaritan woman. Jesus came all the way noontime to have a drink with her and spoke into her life. And she went back and told the entire city about who God is. You know, as I was preaching about this, I thought about one of the person that was baptized, and I'm sure I can mention it, is Edmund. You know, Edmund recently got baptized. Edmund, where are you, Edmund? Would you just wave? Edmund was sitting somewhere there. I believe it was Edmund. Which Edmund, right? Edmund, the home, the smart home Edmund. Okay, just in case there are 6, 7 Edmund all lift up his hand, okay? Edmund, is that the one that just came back, right? Okay, anyway, that's right. So anyway, and I was so encouraged by Edmund's story. Ever since Edmund came to know the Lord, there were a few conversations that Edmund would come to me and say, Pastor, what else can I do? What else can I do? In fact, when he joined us, my spiritual family, he saw a column called Church Plant. He asked, Pastor, can I tick on that or not? I said, Edmund, Church Plant is for those who really want to go out to plant a church. He said, oh, okay, maybe I can be part of the team next time, you know what I mean? And one of the statements that he caught my attention was this. He consistently said this to me. He says, Pastor, what can I do? What else can I help? And I say, Edmund, why? You know? And then he said this. He says, there were many times I wonder, why didn't I know God earlier? Why didn't I know God 5 years ago? God came to my life, changed me. I used to be angry person. I used to be selfish person. I'm full of negativity. But when God came, he changed everything. He says, now what I want to do is tell as many people about who God is. Just even this morning, he brought friends to our church. Already introduced a few people to Christ. And something about when you are able to encounter God's second chance, it turns you around. It makes you to be a second chance salesman. If I can say that way, it makes you to be someone that wants to advocate and say, why don't you try God? You never know, because God can be so personal. And you know, and there were just many, many more stories. Something about God that is very personal, which I cannot explain how, but that is something that you and I have to journey through. I remember when I was lost with, don't know what to do with our building, and we could not get the loan, and I was stuck. And I remember Psalms 143, verse 8, that particular verse. It says, you will hear my loving kindness in the morning. I'll teach you the path that you walk. It became a personal prayer. God was so personal. And then one morning, I had that notion that I need to call the banker that day. As someone that I'd gotten his name through another partner, another friend, and they don't know me, I don't know them. I gave him a call. I've only 5 seconds to make the best impression. I thought the best impression I gave was, I'm a pastor. Hi, hello, so-and-so, my name is this, I'm a pastor. I need to talk to you for 30 seconds. Can you give me the 30 seconds? He paused, and I says, go ahead. I told him our bank loan that could not be approved. I said, I was told that you're one of the key decision maker. Could you help me to look into it? He paused. He says, could you text me your file? I said, I will. And that's all, quick conversation. 3 days later, loan was approved on our table by the grace of God. Never met him, never knew him. God was so personal. It was that moment I knew that God wanted me to do that. I told this story a couple of times, but it remains one of my favorite story. One of our church member who was struck with fear and didn't know what to do. So he talked about one night before he went to bed, he set his alarm. The phone was clearly on. It was fully charged. Put the phone down, went to bed. Middle of the night, wanted to see what time was the phone. And the phone was off. Remember to switch on. When he switched on the phone, and it was a Nokia phone. So the word Nokia came out. But for him, it wasn't Nokia. It was Nokia. It was no fear. It was no fear. Now, you will laugh at that illustration because you thought, Aneben A, man, you know, like that also can, man. It can because it's personal. Just like you go to someone and then, you know, this person fall in love with someone from North Pole. And then, Aneben A, man, A. Why? Because it's personal. That's the way relationship works. You cannot explain it sometime. We call it love is blind. It's just not blind. You saw it clearly. It's personal. But you see, when he saw the word Nokia, no fear, God's presence invaded him. He knelt down by the bed, cried, and he stood up. Fear was removed from his system. So how do you explain that? Now, but the thing is this. The thing is, I cannot ask you if you are in fear, go and buy a Nokia phone, switch it off. In the middle of the night, switch it on again, and then God will speak to you. I can't. Why? Why? Because God is not a philosophy and principle only. He is not the answering machine that tells you, press one, press two, press three, press four. It's not. He comes to us in a very personal way that sometimes only you walked away, you know that it has to be God. I've met people who tells me, Pastor, I was so down with my direction, I don't know what to do. And then when I was driving, I saw a rainbow. And then later when I came back, I saw another rainbow. Pastor, it was a double rainbow that day. I knew God spoke to me because rainbow. I'm like, rainbow is just rainbow lah. Are you with me? But it's personal to them. So God has His own way. So after the message yesterday, I talked to one of my son. I said, "How could you tell Dad one of your moments?" And he described one of the time when he was so stressed in the car. And then he says, while driving, God's presence invaded the car. I don't know how to explain it. I cry. I stop by the roadside. I keep on crying. And I knew that God invaded my world. Wow, I cannot tell you, stop by the roadside. Turn on this music. Set the temperature at 21. That's the environment, God. No, I cannot. You know why? Because God, now listen to this. Why I'm belaboring all that is because one of my prayer in this season is that God, that you and I will experience the personalness of God. And some of you would sometimes say, Pastor, no, I read the Bible. I cannot. I don't know how. And I cannot manufacture it, but God can. So as you are faithful in your journey, I pray that in this season, Christmas season, not only you, but your friend, that they will be able to encounter God. I remember some of the friends that brought to our church for the first time, and we encouraged them after the service. Always get the prayer minister to pray for them. One of them that came there, I remember I prayed for. After I prayed, he turned to his friend and says, "You told him about me, yeah?" And then I said, no, we didn't tell. He says, "How come he prayed something that so described my condition of my heart?" You know why? Because God wants to be personal. Now, I mean, just go to the main text, okay? This is where we get the series name again. So this is really the story of Hosea. Hosea, let me give you a little bit of background. Okay, let me read the verse and I'll give you the background, all right? And the Lord said to me, me is Hosea. Would you read together? It says, go again. Love a woman who is loved by another man and is an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the children of Israel, though they turn to the other gods and love cakes of raisin. Just in case you thought that's referring to Christmas, it is not. Okay, the cake and raisin was the way the pagan god that partake with their ceremony and all of that. Okay, we just kind of move that now. The story of Hosea is this. Some of you know, God uses prophet very interestingly. Many times God uses prophet to proclaim, to prophesy, to tell forth. But Hosea was very unique because God chose a prophet to live out exactly how God felt, in particular to that nation. So it was the last prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel. So let me walk you through very quickly history. God called Abraham about 2,000 years BC. By the time 1,500 BC was God called Moses. It was the assembling of the nation of Israel. By the time you hit about 1,000 BC, you have what we call the kingdom of Israel, which is King Saul, King David, Solomon. It all hit about there. So which means that for about 800 years, God has been dealing with this particular nation. And you know that the nation of Israel as a whole was very rebellious towards God. When King Solomon, he passed away, his son, Rehoboam, who took the kingdom, make a horrible decision. The kingdom split into northern and southern. The northern is called Israel, or Ephraim sometimes, and the southern is called Judah. So sometimes when you read the Bible, Israel could mean northern, Israel could mean the whole kingdom of Israel. It depends on which passage are you reading, okay? So this is for almost 800 years, and Hosea was the last prophet for the northern part of Israel, just as Malachi was the last prophet for the southern part of Israel called Judah. Okay, so this is when their rebellious reached to the peak. The northern part of Israel had 19 kings. They were all evil. And so God was wanting to use the life of Hosea to illustrate the nation's unfaithfulness, but God's faithfulness. So he asked Hosea to go and marry someone who is a prostitute. Now, it's debatable whether when he marry her, he knows she is or she's not. It's really debatable. Scholars is trying to decide, okay? But anyway, Hosea potentially get to know Gomer, and maybe by then she's not. But because of her flirtatious, she began to sleep around and eventually became a prostitute. And the whole bulk of Hosea has to deal with a woman, with his wife that has been unfaithful. And God came to him in Hosea chapter 3 and told him, he says, I want you to go and love her again. And what he did was, on that day, it was a marketplace, slave marketplace, where Gomer was literally being displayed as someone, whoever wants to buy can buy her. She was literally wasted every dignity that she has. She was at the marketplace and then there's only one bidder. It was Hosea, who has to buy back, redeem back the wife, so that he can love her again. Now, I know it's a very strange act, but it's a very powerful and personal act because the entire story really conveys that is exactly what God did for us, where he came and redeemed us and buy us back through his own son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. So it was unfaithfulness of God's people and the faithfulness of God. It gave a prophetic picture of Jesus Christ redeeming us, okay? I won't describe this phrase because it has to do with the three little purchase, 1,500 silver and then shekels and, you know, all of that, okay? But we'll come to that maybe at one day, all right? But I want to kind of zoom it down, the entire story to this part where in Hosea chapter 14, which is the last chapter of Hosea. You know, there's something about the entire Hosea book that was very heart-wrenching because Hosea 11, 12, 13, literally God, okay, basically it was a very poetic book. So there's a poetic kind of a nature of writing. But Hosea 11, 12, 13, 11 talk about how God really raised him up like a child. Hosea 12 talk about how he sort of become a teenage, and 13 was a full-blown son or child that really walked away from God. And then 14 was God's restoration. Let me read to you Hosea 11. I just thought, I didn't put it in the slide, but I just thought that some of the word was really heart-wrenching. Hosea 11, God says this. He says, when Israel was a child, I loved him. Out of Egypt, I called my son. But the more they were called, the more they went away from me. They sacrificed to Baal. They burned incense to images. It was I who taught Ephraim how to walk, taking them by the arms. But they did not realize it was I who healed them. I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them, I was like one who lifts a little child to the cheek and I bent down to feed them. I stooped down and bent. You know, God was using a very relational word, describing that this child called Ephraim, or the northern part of Israel. He says, I did everything. I took you by the cords of love. But then you walked away from me. Hosea 11, very personal. When God gave Israel, so to speak, the second chance. And then his promises to God is this. And I know different one of you potentially look at second chance differently. So I don't know what is broken in this season of your life. But this is my prayer, that as we think about God's second chance, some of this vocabulary will describe your life. The Bible says, God says, I will heal them. Some of you, you are in need of a healing. Maybe emotionally, maybe physically, maybe mentally. He says, I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like a lily. Would you describe your life like a dew? Would you describe your life, you're a blossom? You give out the fragrance of who God is. Like a cedar of Lebanon, he will smell, send out his roots, which means that he will have rich resources of supply. His young shoots will grow. His splendor will be like an olive tree. His fragrance like a cedar of Lebanon. People will dwell again in their shade. You know, I love that little part because for me, when I think about life is not how well you do actually, which is part of it. But life is how big you live your life. Do you have shades for people? I don't know how to address this, but post-MCO, some of us who have been a Christian for a long time, and then after serving God for a while, we come to a point where maybe we're a bit tired, we're a bit weary. And then we ended up in this mode of don't want to do anything. And some of us don't want to meet any people. Pastor, I just want to be myself. I just want to come in, sit down, and walk away, and I'm happy just to be like that. So give me space. And we'll give you all that little space. But could I want to shift your paradigm? Life for God, he says, Israel, my goal is to make you like a tree again, where your roots go deep, where there's a fragrance, where your spring will shoot out, whatever, so that you become like a shade unto many people. You know, life is not about just you're well. Life is lots of people around you are well. And I pray that every one of us in this season of second chance, if you are serving God and you are weary, then I pray that you will meet God again. You will meet God again, whether the rainbow version, the Nokia version, the car version, a lone walking version, whichever version, you come to a place where some of these descriptive words describe your life, that you will flourish like the green, you will blossom like the vine. Your fame will be the wine of Lebanon. When people think about you, they think about, hey, so-and-so. You know, that's a very big-hearted kind of a man. That is a very generous kind of a woman, and they will always care for you. They will always have room and space for you. I still remember when we were working and at that point, you know, in Assam House, and there were people who the poor, they will come, and one of the management person who knew me very well will always tell them, oh, you go Assam House, they will for sure feed you. And true enough, I mean, we will just feed anybody that comes and really they have no, and we'll just be able to feed them. And in fact, there's one fine day we feed someone, and then when I go downstairs, which is the other restaurant, the person is eating there again, overfed. But my point is, how big of a shade will you provide a dwelling place? I pray that God will help us to achieve and reach that second chance where all of us will say, God, I want to live that kind of a life. What is our response at the end? I love the response of David. So this is David, Psalm 51. He had his second chance with God. And when he had his second chance with God, He wrote Psalm 51, his own repentance, and one of his desires, and I pray that will be your desire. He says, would you read together? He says, what? Come on, one, two, go. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Would you describe your heart pure? Would you describe your spirit steadfast? If it is not, then welcome to Christmas. Then welcome to God's generosity. Then welcome to the second chances of God, where I pray different one of us will be able to meet a God that will meet you so personally where you are. And that's my prayer, that as you take your walk, as you read the Bible, as you go through your stress, as you cry out to God, God will be personal to each one of you. And He'll offer you a second chance. He'll say, come back. He'll say, let me love you again. Let me feed you again. Okay, good amen. Why don't we stand as we close, and then we'll jump into the dialogue. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we come before you. Lord, I pray this Christmas, this series called Again, is meant to be not again, but God, thank you for loving me again. Thank you for accepting me again. Thank you for forgiving me again. Thank you for giving me the second chance. And I pray, oh God, Lord, no matter what we are going through, I really pray, oh God, Lord, that we get to experience the God of second chance, and that we get to invite our friends to experience the God of second chance. So we come humbly before you. We ask of you, in the name of Jesus, be personal to me. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.